Just to give you a little bit of an overview, we do cover the 21 easternmost counties in Mississippi. We have extension offices in each of those counties, and we also have experiment stations that are scattered across the southern part of the state. Poplarville, White Sands, and McNeil make up the South Mississippi Branch Experiment Station. Beaumont is a horticultural unit, and Pascagoula houses the Experimental Seafood Processing Laboratory. And being a research and extension center, we don't have one focus. We do a little bit of everything. We also have the Crosby Arboretum in Picayune, Mississippi, which is an extension facility. If you're familiar with it, it has a Fay Jones pavilion associated with it that has international renown. And then we are centered in Biloxi at the Coastal Research and Extension Center. We also partner with the Grand Bay National Estuarine Research Reserve over in Jackson County, and I'll talk about it a little bit more. It was actually scheduled to have a new facility built with it. Just to give you an idea, it was supposed to go for bid just following the hurricane. The budget was $7 million. When we came back with the bid opening, the lowest bid was 14.4. So it dramatically changed everything, not just for the people that are living there, but for those that are trying to accomplish research too. It more than shot the budget. Everything was shut down for about a year. It was revamped. It was going to be a gold LEED certified building. Now it's silver, and it came back at I think about $9 million this time, which we can actually afford to build. I apologize. I don't have pictures of everything that I'm going to talk about. In the days just following the hurricane, it really wasn't priority number one. So some of the things actually had some repairs done before we got around to taking pictures. But in your disaster plan, that's something that I would encourage you to do. Document with pictures. That's going to be very important as you move through the process and deal with FEMA. This is a map that I actually pulled off of the internet, but my region encompasses the light yellow there, so we cover quite a geographic area. We had what we thought was a comprehensive hurricane plan prior to Hurricane Katrina. We had been through it. This was our third go-round with storms in 2005. In 2004, we were pretty well prepared, we thought, for Ivan. We covered everything we could possibly think of and then some. And the problem with that is nobody ever thought that there would be a storm that was as bad as Katrina was. I don't know that if we went through it again that we would cover everything, but we know a lot more now than we did then. We started making storm preparations for Hurricane Katrina on a Friday afternoon. And those of you that dealt with it probably remember from about noon on Friday until 5 o'clock, the storm track shifted from somewhere over in the panhandle of Florida to somewhere west of New Orleans. And had we not been through the drill twice already that year, and let's face it, when you tie down some things on an experiment station, they don't get untied until you need them again. And that's what happened. Some of the preparation was already done. If it hadn't been for that, we probably wouldn't have gotten as much done as we did. One thing that I would tell you would be key with that, not all employees work every weekend, but know where you can get in touch with them when you do need them on the weekend, because we called a lot of people in on that Saturday. But anyway, like I said, the planning was terribly inadequate for a storm like Katrina. At one point in time, the entire state of Mississippi was without power, and that was inconceivable. We did revamp our plan. I'll talk a little bit about that. But you're going to have to determine what your own individual needs are based on just some of these suggestions. One thing, we do secure all of our outside material that might have the potential to blow around for a couple of different reasons. One, it can damage the things that it blows into. With us, some of our stations are a little bit more urban. You don't want to impact your neighbors. We move all of our vehicles to an open field, and I'll show you a slide that illustrates that a little bit better. They're gassed up. That was one thing that really served us very well. When the fuel was short after Hurricane Katrina, we simply switched vehicles. Didn't have to worry about that in the short term. In the long term, it was a problem. Most of you probably have fuel tanks that are on stations or accessible. Make sure that those are filled up prior to a storm. And in fact, now during hurricane season, there's a sign over the key box. If you take a vehicle out, it comes back in completely refueled. There's no, I'll take care of it tomorrow. You take care of it today because you just never know. And kind of a funny story, in 2004, there really aren't many funny stories with Katrina, but this was Ivan. We were doing our storm prep for Ivan, and we had just moved all of our vehicles into the open field. We sent a crew down to the Arboretum in Picayune, about 30 minutes south. They have a greenhouse. That's one of the last things that we do getting ready for hurricane. We cut the plastic because it's quite a chore if you've never pulled plastic back across a greenhouse. It takes a little while. Sent a crew down there to help with that, and they left the last truck parked under the shed. It was a old military surplus Chevy S10, and the windows wouldn't roll up. Well, we wound up leaving it parked under the shed because we didn't want it to get full of water from the rain, and nobody ever checked to see if the keys were out. Now, as it turned out, we were not that far from the county jail. Prisoners chose that night to make a jailbreak, and there are several different ways to look at that. One, they did not break into one of the new vehicles and hotwire it, cause a lot of damage. But two, they took the old Chevy truck that had the keys in it, made their escape in that, and we wound up in the Jackson newspaper, which was a little bit of a negative. But anyway, storm preparation, something we forgot to do. We didn't take the keys out of all of the trucks. We do remind everybody that they need to back up data, and we're all guilty of that. You think that you're going to get around to it, and you don't. That's one of the things that's on the list. Please back your data up, and take a copy somewhere with you if you evacuate. Keep it in more than one place. It's like when you're working on your dissertation and you have backup disks everywhere. You know, as you move into your professional career, I know that I was not nearly as good about that as I should have been. To back up, we typically do not board our windows. It's just never been a serious concern. We do remind everybody to cover their computers and other sensitive equipment in case the roof leaks. These jumbo garbage bags and some duct tape are the best thing in the world for that. Pull them over the computer monitor, pull them over the computer. It works very well. And then we remind everybody to place equipment off the floor if flooding is a concern. That's only a concern if you have about 3 inches. If you have much more than that, it turns the tables and everything else over and dumps it back in the floor anyway. And unfortunately, we have some experience with that. Generators, if you have generators that you use, they should be tested at full load once per month. That doesn't mean plug them in, make sure that they work. They need to be plugged into whatever they're going to run and run at full load. That was a lesson that we learned the hard way. We thought that our generators were ready to go. They were not ready to run at load. All the vehicles and fuel tanks are kept fully fueled during hurricane season. I already mentioned that. The livestock are moved to interior pastures as much as possible. If you have that ability, you want them in a place where it takes them a little bit longer to get to the open road where they can be a problem for people traveling. One of the last decisions we make is to cut the plastic from the greenhouses. We've actually done that 3 times in the almost 11 years that I've worked for Mississippi State. One thing that we do, and perhaps some of the others can address this, we do allow the employees to take shelter at our Research and Extension Center. And a couple of reasons for that, we do have a lot of employees that live in areas that are not safe for them to stay. But most of those employees have animals. They have pets. And good, bad, or otherwise, we've never fussed about somebody bringing a dog or cat to the experiment station. I won't say what you do or don't want to do. I don't want to be the reason that somebody didn't evacuate. The pets are not a serious problem, have not been. We had about 25 people that rode the storm out at the office building in Biloxi, and most of those did have animals with them. One thing that I would encourage you to do, try to prepare enough in advance so that your employees also have time to take care of the things that they need to handle at home. So we do things a little bit ahead of time, give them that last day or two to take care of their home. Make sure that you have contact information for all of your employees and where they plan to evacuate. That was one thing that really hurt us after the hurricane. It was 3 weeks before we accounted for every single employee. You know, we were relatively certain that they were safe, but it's a really bad feeling to not know that for sure. So what I have them do now is they provide me with their current address, their home phone number, cell phone number, and I went one step further, and some of them think that this is a little funny, but I don't, because I know how much time we took the last time. But I want the contact information of the first person out of the impact zone that they would let know that they're okay, so that when worst case scenario happens, I can contact that person and find out if they've heard anything. One other thing, after Hurricane Katrina, people that could not make contact with me called campus, "Hey, I'm okay." The problem with that is they never called the same person, so there was no central list on campus that said everybody's okay. One person knew that, okay, these three people called here. On the experiment station side, some people called there. Well, it was very hard to piece all of that information together, so now there is one number that they're instructed to call. If they can't make contact with me, let this person on campus know. So we centralized it a little bit. As far as planning, communication is the key. Communication is always the key. Communication with our upper administrators was really what saved us with Hurricane Katrina. We started talking as soon as it looked like that we were going to be in the impact zone that Friday afternoon and all weekend. And they basically said, tell us what you need. And I made a list of everything that I could think of, and probably then some. We still have a lot of rolls of roofing paper. But I gave that to them, and they took that list, and they had people working from campus all weekend to secure or procure what they thought that, or what I thought that I would need. And we were very fortunate. We had a forestry crew on campus. Their mission during that time of the year is fire response. They were able to pack up and go very quickly. They were on site in South Mississippi Thursday after the storm. They brought bulldozers, they brought heavy equipment, they brought people that were comfortable operating chainsaws, and they helped get the station back up and running to take care of the things that we had to take care of, and they freed my people up to take care of what they needed to at home so that they did not have to worry about work for just a little while. But the key there, they have to be a part of the planning process. All of that was set in motion before the hurricane ever made landfall. To tell you about specific impacts, we completely lost two county extension offices. Hancock County had 28 feet of water, and Jackson County had about 6 feet. The Hancock County office was a complete loss. You can imagine it had false ceilings in it. Desks floated up over the false ceilings. Things were just everywhere. Other county locations had much less severe damage. If you do work with the county-based programs, keep in mind that that's going to be a point of contact for most of the agricultural sector. They became a staging area for relief efforts. They helped procure hay, feed for livestock, feed for personal home pets, and things like that. So they were really out of circulation for the normal activities for quite some time. This was actually one of the county offices. You can see a lot of pine limbs and things down. That's some of the equipment that the forestry crew brought with them, heavy equipment they could move things around. And I should say that was the first crew came. They were on site within 2 days after the storm. The second crew came down the Sunday before Labor Day. There were 9 people with the first crew, and I think we had about 12 with the second one. And they worked until they had us operational, trees cleared and things like that. We also had significant flooding at the Experimental Seafood Processing Lab in Pascagoula. 2 of the buildings are actually in a flood zone, and one was not. Like many states, or maybe your state's different, we didn't carry separate flood insurance. Most of Mississippi State University self-insured. We do carry flood insurance now because it had a tremendous impact on what FEMA reimbursed us for in those 2 buildings that were in a flood zone. I know that the Louisiana folks will appreciate this. We called to get flood insurance after FEMA had informed us that we had to carry it. And a insurance company that will remain nameless informed us after Hurricane Katrina that we did not need flood insurance. We were not in a flood zone. Unfortunately, FEMA's website said differently. So we do now have flood insurance. This is the Experimental Seafood Processing Laboratory. Like I said, it had about 6 feet of water in some of the buildings. It doesn't take a lot of water to make a huge mess. That was previously a walk-in cooler. The fence caught a lot of the debris before it actually washed off-site. Again, it just scatters stuff everywhere. Picks up really large pieces of equipment and moves them all around. You can see another cooler in the back part of that picture. It actually lifted it up and sat it on top of a ladder. We had to get the forklift and pull that off. It drove a trash can through a sheetrock wall. You can see the water line there, pulled the insulation back, let everything dry out. That's the water line. That's a pilot seafood processing plant. The good thing about that building is from top to bottom it's made to be hosed down, and it made cleanup in there a little bit easier, except that a lot of rust and things like that on the equipment. At this point we were doing a better job of cataloging. That's the water line, about 10 inches in the office building. More jumble in the pilot plant. That was an x-ray machine used for irradiation of seafood. It did not float. It would have been much better had it floated, because the salt water really messed up all of the circuitry, and we've just gotten a new one in. But that was probably the most expensive piece of equipment in the building, and FEMA reimbursed us for half of it. As far as other facilities, we lost a section of the roof at the main Coastal Research and Extension Center. There were people in the building when that happened, and I can tell you that it sounded much worse than a section of the roof coming off. As a result of that, though, we had some skylighting and a little bit of water damage inside. We lost trees everywhere. We had damage to storage buildings, greenhouses, other structures. We only had one building that came down completely, and a tree bisected the rear of the Crosby Arboretum Visitor Center. The Crosby Arboretum was one of the first places that I went on Tuesday after the storm, and I told you there's a Faye Jones Pavilion there. It's invaluable, priceless. And I just knew, I mean, it's delicate. It's like the crystal Thorn Crown Chapel. Very light, very airy. I just knew it was going to be on the ground. It had a very small pine tree on the roof, and that was all. But a very large pine tree fell through the back of the visitor center, and actually that had to be repaired. That's actually the section of the roof. It peeled that roof back and across over on the other side of the building. You can see part of the roof. It also threw it on top of the other two buildings there. As a result of that, we replaced roof on all three buildings. The roof in the foreground was actually off of a church down the street. And so basically, after that roof section came off, it banged against the side of the building and on top of the other roofs for the remainder of the day. Lots of tree limbs. It just defoliated the majority of the trees. Lots of pine timber down. We were getting ready to put in a shade garden behind the main office in Biloxi, and it's now a sun garden. Any kind of retractable doors or rollable doors, it basically pushed those inside. Sometimes it tore apart what they were connected to. That was a feed storage building, and I guess it was built out of a plywood. You can see what that construction does. There were previously three bay doors to that, and it basically tore it all apart. Probably a little bit of a microburst there. That is the shed that collapsed completely, and if you're based on an experiment station, if you don't have some of these old sheds, these old historic sheds, you're better than we are. But this one did collapse completely. One thing that we failed to get out from under there, we do have some fairly nice club cars, and we had to use a forklift to pull that off and actually get that out. We weren't going to leave it there. FEMA is very picky about how you handle that debris. That's a very old building. They want to make sure that there's no lead, there's no asbestos before you dispose of it. So not only is rebuilding a problem, but actually what you do with that waste is a big problem too. You can see sunlight there through the roof, just water spots, things like that. Nothing really major in the scheme of things. Lots of debris cleanup, limbs, things like that. We were very fortunate. Most of our employees showed back up to work fairly quickly after the storm, and people pitched in, helped with things like this. The dress code was very relaxed for probably a month and a half after the storm. And one thing that I should have mentioned sooner as far as administration, our administration from campus were on the experiment station within a week after the storm. They came to see what they could do. They brought paychecks for our employees. Regina and I talked about this a little bit. Not all of our employees have direct deposit paychecks. Some of them actually still get pay stubs or paychecks. They brought those with them. And so those employees were able to cash those checks, actually have money. And on that same visit, we had 9 employees that lost everything. And I had mentioned that, you know, what are we going to do to stabilize these people so that we can keep them? Before the plane took off back to Starkville, they had bought 9 travel trailers. And we were able to get our employees in university housing so that they didn't have to worry about where they were going to live. And that probably made as big a difference as anything. We lost about 5 miles of cross fence. I just found out that before we push that, FEMA wants to make sure that our fence posts don't have asbestos in them. So we've got to jump through that hoop now. We also found out that we didn't have the generating capacity to cover all of our needs. We had the generating capacity to handle outages here and there. We did not have the generating capacity to make sure that all of the cows had the water that they needed to be out of power for 2 weeks in 2 different locations. So we have more generators now. As far as the impact on people, I mentioned we had 9 employees that lost everything. A number of others had significant flooding, and I'm talking 5 or 6 feet. Very few employees didn't have their own immediate needs to tend to, and those crews that came to campus made a tremendous difference just to let our employees get their feet back under them. It took 3 weeks to locate all of the employees. And one thing with that, I put everybody on administrative leave immediately following the hurricane. Almost everybody came back to work on their own prior to that to help pitch in. When they got things taken care of at home, they came back and helped the university. We still have recovery issues for personnel. And this is something I would encourage all of you to include in an emergency plan. Not very long after the storm, we had a counseling group that came down from campus, and we kind of had a debriefing session. Everybody just talked, and then we had follow-up sessions. They actually came to us, follow-up sessions for people that felt like they needed it. But it's still an issue. I still have employees that are not performing it at 100% because they still have things to deal with at home. I still have 2 that are in trailers, that are in little modular trailers. So you can't expect employees to perform at the level they did prior to the storm. That's one thing. That part of the recovery will take much longer than rebuilding a house. Financial impact. Keep detailed records of labor, supplies, equipment purchased both before and after the storm, because things that you buy to prepare for the storm is something that FEMA will allow. Check FEMA's website. And that's still going to be a little bit of a moving target. Record keeping is critical. Check with your administration about storm-related expenses. What our administration did is they set up 1 account, and all of the storm-related expenses were paid out of that account. And then it's reimbursed back to that account. We're not trying to figure out, go back and pull records of things, where did we pay for those shovels. So that's really helped the record keeping a lot. Planning is key. You can't emphasize that enough. Administration from campus, for me, they have to be in the loop. The crews were staged from campus. That was a lifesaver for us. Recovery is long-term. We're still working on rebuilding things, and the people part of it's going to take a lot longer. We're still working with FEMA. We may still be working with FEMA when I retire. But my conclusions, plan for something worse than anything you can ever imagine happening. Communicate with your administration and your employees. You've got to know where they are. Document both your preparation and your recovery. And I'll be honest with you, there were a couple of days after the hurricane, I didn't want to take a camera out because I didn't want any record of it at all, but you really need to do that. Be somewhat familiar with the FEMA requirements going in, and be aware of the people issues as they recover, because there were some really bad days at Coastal, you know, right after the storm, and there were some good days, and as time passed, the good days outweighed the bad days, but it's still really tough on those people. And with that, that's a little bit of the things that we did and where we are, and I appreciate your time.